Hello everyone, welcome back to the main event. You're here with me, Daniel.
And Aaron.
And we're on to Wednesday fixtures. Aaron, not quite as juicy as the Tuesday ones in terms of sporting spectacles. There could be a few hammer-ins here though. Be nice to see. What's your gut instinct when it comes to these Wednesday fixtures? Do you want many players from these teams overall?
I think what will be interesting is the people who wild carded in match day two compared to Limitless, have a little bit more of these kind of players, the Wednesday players in their squad, because they planned for that in mind. So I'm in the same boat. But a lot of people who Limitless are going to have to try and get a few of these players in because, if I remember correctly, these fixtures were the Tuesday on the first time round. Now they're the Wednesday.
Yeah, correct.
So, I think that's going to be really interesting because there's going to be a lot of players that we want to target, and but now the risk of rotation is more, and it's see what how people split the Tuesday and Wednesday because we have a lot more information now compared to when match day two. So yeah, that's going to be really interesting, especially the early kickoff.
Yeah. There's a good few teams here that I really want to target as well. And I remembered why I wildcarded on match day two. Now I'm just thinking, yep, some of these are great. A couple of them not so great. But we'll start with the early kickoffs. Inter versus Victoria Plzeňa. We'll let you kick this one off, Aaron, as our
Yeah,
Serie A fan.
so Inter winning 4-3, what a game that was, against Frosinone. The Barella is on a little bit of a hot streak at the minute,
Years.
so he's really really interesting, a player to target. Lautaro scoring twice, Mkhitaryan scoring the 90 and 5th minute winner. When looking at the lineup, Darmian and DeMarco with the wing backs. The same thing happened before Inter played Plzeňa the first time, where they rested both the wing backs. So Denzel Dumfries came on, even though he came on as a sub, even though he did get yellow carded, and so did Gerson's. So I think they're both going to be the starting wing backs for Plzeňa. We'll find out. Obviously, we'll see the lineups, but Dumfries was an absolute unit the last time these teams played each other. I think he got the clean sheet and the goal, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
Yeah, for the game, the first game round, yeah, he absolutely saved Limitless Wildcarders basically because a lot of them captained him as well. So I think he ended up on exactly 12 points, double to 24. I think that was it. I can't remember. It was a lot. He got a lot of points.
Dzeko was rested. I mean, he came on as a sub with the game being so close. So he looks like he could be a good shout as well. But I think the biggest person who they're missing is potentially Brozovic, who got the player of the match last time. Because the amount of ball recoveries he got, he did really, really well. So it's going to be interesting. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what Inter do. I mean, they seem to be doing all right without him. But I think that's also leading to Barella having this little hot streak that he's going on. So if I remember correctly, he is 7.5 million in the game. But yeah, this is definitely, I think, a game that we're looking to target, and knowing that Inter are not going to rotate match day, even though they are against Bayern Munich in that last one. If they get even a point in this game, they will have guaranteed Barcelona out. So that's going to be really interesting. Inter are going to go all out for it, and I think that's why they rested a bunch of players.
Yeah, I think it's a bit worrying maybe for the next game though, if we think that that's when Inter could rotate. So we said in the last podcast that Dumfries is maybe the easiest pick we possibly have, but Actually, is he? Because I think he could be a serious doubt for match day six, because they're probably just wanting for the league at that stage if they are through, and there's no chance of them finishing top ahead of Bayern Munich. So maybe that's something that we all do actually need to consider a little bit. Food for thought. Also with the Wednesday games, I've got a lot of Wednesday defenders at the minute. I've got double Porto with the goalkeeper and Carmo, Tavares. So I think I might even have someone else in there. So it's not looking the best. The fact that it's a Wednesday fixture, and I think he's nailed on to get rotated for match day six. But if you have him, he's an amazing person to have this week. I do think that it's just a case of trying to maximize those transfers.
I think
Plazenia.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry,
I think
yeah,
if you were just looking,
aren't great. So
yeah, like kind of what you were saying. Like I do think if you were to pick kind of like a blank canvas players just for this match day, I think Dumfries would be in there. And so if people would get him in, I can see why. But if people stay away from him, I also understand. Because yep. There's no guarantee that they've got four wing backs for two positions. They could play Darmian and DeMarco there. They're not the most attacking players, but they could. But just having a look at the rest of their fixtures before the World Cup, they've got Sampdoria this upcoming weekend after Plzeňa. Then they've got Bayern Munich. Then away to Juventus. Oh, and then home to Bologna, and then Atalanta away. And Atalanta are
second, brother. Second,
yeah.
Brother.
And so, well, they're currently third. They haven't played yet at the time of recording, though. That's the reason why. So, Inter have to keep pace with all these other teams in Serie A this season. So, if they guarantee second spot, it could be transfer in, transfer out. But kind of like what you were saying before, if we have players like Rhys James or something like that, you could save a little bit of money down at Dumfries, but also have a good game. And then he's a Tuesday punt in the match day six. So
correct.
That's the hardest bit about it. And that's the, as we close out the group stage, that's always the hardest bit, is managing rotation.
Yeah, I agree. The I suppose a good thing to maybe look at is the match day six early fixtures, but then they are absolute garbage because you're thinking, oh well, I know who's going to play for Porto, Atletico, Leverkusen and Bruges, but it's like, how many of them players do you want to like know who's playing? And then I think by the Wednesday, Real Madrid, Celtic, Shakhtar, Leipzig games come around, it's still a bit too late. So it's tricky. This is where it gets really tricky for everyone. And it started a week early. Match day four wasn't nice for a lot of people. I think it gave off a lot of match day six vibes to a lot of people. Plzeňa have been Plzeňas. We'll go on to Club Bruges, the Porto. I really know what to expect. Bruges drew again, 2-2. Vanecken finally scored, but it was a pen. And then I think Scott Olsen scored. Nothing for Jukla. Subbed off like on 63 minutes or something. Which isn't great. He does get subbed off pretty early. But obviously for his price, he's not bad. I'm not going to have fun because I have Jukla. And then like I say, I've got a Porto goalkeeper and a Porto defender. Stuck with it, really. Nothing I can do about it, so it's just cross my fingers and pray. Got to expect at least one of them will blank. No Milo Brugel winning, Jukla will blank, but one of them annoying things. Scott Olsen is still a great pick, in my opinion. I think he's so good. They do have a couple of really cheap defenders, which you should still go for. Mignolet, four clean sheets in a row, outrageous. Who's to say that they won't do it again? They have to be clear favourites going into match day five. And I just do not think they will, I just don't think they'll rotate. I think they manage the player time well in the league and in the Champions League. You sort of see players going off after an hour, really early. But well done to them. Is there anyone from this game that you're thinking of getting in? Do you have any players already?
I think a lot of people have Costa, the Porto goalkeeper, with his 16 and 15 point performances.
Oh, no, let's just forget about the last one, Alan, right? That never happened.
So it's going to be battle of the goalkeepers, really. These are the two top scoring goalkeepers in the game, and we'll see which one can keep their spot. Obviously, I think for a lot of people, who wildcarded match day three, they'll have Jutkla, but they'll also have Costa as well. So it's kind of like, which asset will they sub on? I think that's going to be a really interesting debate for a lot of people. It depends who their Tuesday goalkeeper is.
Yeah. Everyone's praying that the Tuesday goalkeeper keeps a clean sheet, really.
So that they don't have to make that decision.
Yeah, but then watch Costa, then go and save a Jutkla pen. Like that
would destroy this. Fantasy UCL would explode.
Yeah, we're quitting the podcast if that happens. You have to find a new host, co-host. I couldn't cope.
But no, I do think it's going to be... I mean, I hope it's 0-0. Just so I can try and climb rank a little bit. But
yeah, to be fair, it depends on how the goalkeeper goes, because like I say, I have a double defence. So 0-0 would suit me better than a Jutkla goal.
Yeah, definitely. So the other game in that group, Atletico Madrid-Leverkusen. Atletico Madrid, I think they won on the weekend. Oh no, they haven't played yet at the time recording. They're about to kick off in 2 minutes. So against Real Betis, Leverkusen
drew 2-2
against Wolfsburg. DRB is starting to score a few now.
He's got another one
with the other goal. The table's really interesting because this is where Atletico Madrid were last year and they snuck in to second place. I think they face Porto match day 6. So that's going to be really interesting,
they do.
Especially if Bruges draw, Atletico Madrid win, then Atletico Madrid could do the same thing again and sneak into second place.
Yeah, you could definitely see a Bruges-Porto draw. Yeah, like I can just picture it. Watch it be 1-1. Jutkla, no goal.
Yeah. Jutkla red card.
Oh, stop it.
Or missed pen, and then some random player got the rebound.
No, missed pen, yellow card. Costa not even saving it.
Hit the post.
Yeah.
Wishful thinking. But Atletico Madrid, they're just not... I think a couple of people may have tried to move on from their assets at the minute, but all we know is that with Group B, there's probably not any rotation, and these are all going to be the early kickoffs in match day 6. So at least we have that going for us. In the other group that we've mentioned already, obviously we talked about Inter Plzeňa. The other game is Barcelona versus Bayern Munich. We know, unless some miracle, that Barcelona are destined for the Europa League. Bayern Munich have finished top. Sané is out, as you've mentioned in the last podcast, Dan. Could be a lot of rotation. Anyways, I believe that the people who caught COVID have recovered now. Like Musiala.
Oh, yeah. They're back playing. Musiala scored at the weekend. Thibaut Morting scoring. He's been starting up front for them. I think he's got a couple of goals and an assist in his last couple of starts. So, if you want a super punt, he could be playing. I don't fancy anyone from Bayern. I thought they were quite lucky to win the first game. And Sané's magic in the Champions League. And without him, they could struggle a little bit more. They've not been great. I know that Barcelona haven't been excellent. Obviously, got hammered in El Clasico. So, there could be hope. I don't think there will be, though. But Barcelona, I don't think are going to be a pushover in this game. And I'd probably just avoid. If you've got Musiala, then just keep him. Like, that's fine. Could score. He's really, really good. So talented. Again, I think he finished third in the Young Player of the Year award.
I believe
that's a joke. Him and Bellingham are miles clear of everyone else.
Yeah.
Miles clear.
We do know that Spanish papers have a bigger influence in the Ballon d'Or voting. Yeah. But Barcelona haven't played yet at the time of recording. However, they do play Victoria Plzeňa in match day 6. So I do think we need to keep an eye out on Barcelona assets. That's one of the reasons I transferred in Lewandowski last match day when I saw that the other two transfers had been made. So I took the -4 in the hope that he would get revenge against Bayern Munich this game and then has Plzeňa in the last one. So just kind of jumping ahead of the curve. He has scored his 600th and 601st goal of his career. So he's the first person in kind of the Messi-Ronaldo era to, well, the third person to do it other than Messi-Ronaldo. Huge achievement. And he didn't have luck last time against Bayern Munich, but this time I do think he'll see joy with the kind of unpredictable nature of Bayern Munich. With Bayern, there's a lot of rotation risk due to the injuries. But I think Musiala, if people did hold on to him, was still a good shout for this game. And I can't think of many other assets other than Sané that we had. A couple of people had Mane.
Yeah, if you've got Mane, again, you keep them, especially with the last game, and keep your fingers crossed that he plays, which I'm not too sure that he does play. It's Bayern are going to be tricky. I kind of want to stay clear of them. I know that they can do damage. Like, which one? We go for Leon Goretzka. He did really well in the last game. He's been doing well again in the league. He's another massively underrated player. No one ever talks about him, and he's so good.
Yeah.
And they struggle when he doesn't play. It comes back in. And him and Kimmich just absolutely boss it. You could have Kimmich still. So lots of Bayern options. It's just, and they're not all going to get rotated. But in seeing the last game, someone like Kingsley Coman playing.
Yeah. And he's a all right price as well on the game.
Yeah. I tell you what, even Sané could play in the last game, because it depends on when he comes back from fitness, and it might be, well, this is a great game for fitness. Oh, that's terrifying, actually. That's a terrifying thought, not having Sané for that last game.
Because let's put a scenario in place. Barcelona beat Bayern Munich. Inter beat Plzeňa. That means that if Inter beat Bayern Munich on the last match day, Inter will finish top of the group.
Does it not matter about goal difference at all? Or
no, because if Bayern Munich lose both of these games, they would finish on 12 and Inter would be on 13.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So Bayern Munich need a point to secure top spot.
Yeah.
And they definitely want that, knowing that kind of Man City have already tied that up. So, and that could happen. Well, it could go into the last match day 6 with Bayern, Inter. Bayern just needing a draw to go through, but Inter could win and take top spot. And so that would be really, really interesting. I do believe it's in Germany, the last match day, though. So,
yeah.
Wishful thinking. I really hope that does happen, though. It means we get more joy out of our assets, like Sané and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's good for everyone, I think. Not good for me if I'm going to get rid of Sané this week.
Let's go on to the next group. So we'll go into Napoli versus Rangers. I mean, Napoli haven't played yet at the time of recording. They're playing away to Roma, which will be a great game as well. They are still top of Serie A, top of this group, and just just really, really good team, aren't they? They have to win to avoid Liverpool catching them. But against Rangers, I think that's looking good for that.
You'd like to think so. Rangers have not been very good of late. Yeah, and especially in the Champions League. I mean, that game against Liverpool was a joke. And we've seen what Liverpool have been like. I don't think Rangers will be a Premier League team. I genuinely think they're a Championship level team. And I can see Napoli absolutely battering them. The question comes, you know, for that last game week, you know, do they rotate? They'll just... Because if they beat Rangers, you'd say that they finished top guaranteed. That's where the worry is. If that wasn't the case, I think you just have to have double Napoli midfield. I wouldn't go Raspadori because Osimhen seems to be back in the sharing minutes again. And then Simeone comes off the bench. And I think Raspadori's time is up in terms of being an asset. But Anguissa, Zielinski, Kvaratskhelia, I think two of the three of them mustard for you. And like, they're so cheap.
Yeah, so Cravadon will get a price rise as well. So he's definitely someone I'm looking at. In terms of Napoli, they get nicer matches in the league as well. So the only big team that they have to face is Atalanta away, which is the week after they face Liverpool. Well, the weekend after they face Liverpool. So they very well could rotate, knowing that they're guaranteed top spot, so that they could secure top spot in the league before going to the World Cup. A lot of these players are going to get rested before, like during the World Cup as well. So they're just looking really, really good this year. Liverpool. I mean, we're not getting anyone from Rangers, are we? No.
No, that's, they've been present yet all day long.
Ajax versus Liverpool. Liverpool must win. But they beat Man City 1 week, lose to Nottingham Forest the next.
Yeah, things you love to see.
And then Ajax over the weekend, I believe they won 4-1 at Berghaus. Two goals, Brobbey, two goals. It's going to be in Amsterdam. I am excited for this match. I think this is going to be one of the ones I'm really paying attention to from a neutral perspective to watch. And I think that's one of the most important things when you're doing fantasy, is that you still find enjoyment in good matchups, and you want to watch it. So a lot of us will have Kudus. Are you going to keep him?
Well, I kind of have to because of the Sané situation, I think. I mean, it depends, because I might keep Sané and bin off Kudus. Kudus didn't play at the weekend, came off the bench. Brobbey's been starting again, and he got two goals, I think. Berghaus also got a goal and two assists, so he's looking good again. But against good opposition, like Liverpool, I think will be well up for it. Losing away to Nottingham Forest is just like peak Liverpool this season. Whereas I do think like away to Ajax is going to be different. Liverpool are a team at the minute that aren't great in the press and are looking to counter-attack. They look like they need to be playing counter-attacking football. And I think the Ajax game suits them more than Nottingham Forest, who want to sit 83 men behind the ball at all times, and then they want to counter-attack. So, yeah, I think this game is going to suit them more. I have no idea who the starts, which I don't like. And I could do for the money, I think I could do Kudus to Anguissa, something like that. And then sort of have that differential in Sané for match day six, maybe. That could be some long-term thinking. I mean, that's a bit bold. I don't think many people will be doing that. I don't know. I need to see how I feel about it at the time. But yeah, there's lots of fires for people to put out anyway. So it could be a little way of getting on it. And I don't need all 15 players to be playing. I just need 14. My issue is that, I think as mentioned earlier, I think most of my defence are playing on the Wednesday, which is not fun. But obviously that's a Mendes issue. So I think a Mendes to a Tuesday player, I am talking myself out of the Dumfries thing now. I think I need to make that a Tuesday player. And then it's a decision on Kudus or Sané out. And it's not like if Kudus plays, then he can score. I think he scored against Liverpool in the reverse fixture. I just think Robbie's going to start personally, but we'll have to see.
I'm hoping that my Tuesday players can get it done so that I don't have to make that decision.
Yeah,
I think a big thing will be Darwin Núñez, whether he plays or not. Not in terms of fantasy, I can't see many people going for him, but just in terms of how Liverpool play, they seem to play a lot better when he's in there, even though Firmino got the job done last match day. So it's going to be really interesting because they're just not clicking, and I think the World Cup is going to come at a good time for Liverpool with a few players, Salah, potentially Trent, Robertson, all going to get rests. So I think
yeah, don't know if Luis Diaz will go.
I think he's injured anyway.
Yeah, but he's injured, and so I think
they've got a lot. Colombia in the World Cup?
That's what I mean. I don't even know if they qualified.
I don't think they are.
Injured. So I think they'll have like a lot of their players rested. I don't know if Firmino will go.
Yeah, Jota's injured. I just think because of the amount of matches that they played last season, they didn't recruit well enough. I think the World Cup's coming at a good time for Liverpool.
Yeah.
And then just the one group left. This is the biggest troll group.
Oh my God. Flip the coin, Aaron. There's your answer, everyone. Flip the coin, see what you get.
Tottenham finishing, they are currently top of that group somehow. 7 points, Marseille 6 points, Sporting 6 points, Eintracht Frankfurt 4 points.
Unbelievable group.
Sporting are the ultimate trolls. I think everyone's done with them. We're not looking to get anyone in anymore.
Didn't they get like 3 red cards or something in the last game? Gonçalves is out, and he's the one that I think a lot of people will have. So there's your first flag. But you'll be back for the last game. So again, I don't think he's necessarily a transfer out. If you have other players that you're confident with playing, again, he's a Wednesday player as well. You could keep him for that last game where I think they stormed it match day one, didn't they? I think Gonçalves is actually for match day 6 an amazing pick, Tuesday player.
He will come good, Dan. Ooh. You just need to keep speaking it.
He's going to do it.
It'll manifest. Tottenham haven't played yet. They play Newcastle in an hour at the time of recording, so the lineup is about to come out. The match is in Tottenham as well, so that'll help them out massively. Harry Kane seems to... I mean, he didn't score last week, but that was like the first time in a while in the league anyways that he's not scored. Son is back amongst the lineup. Kulusevski is injured, out for a bit from what I heard. So Richarlison, is he fit? Can't remember. But he's not playing great.
He was playing really well, but Conte's... I think he did get injured. Conte's brought him out. Kulusevski kind of got a game on the right. They're a bit of a mess, Tottenham. So obviously they're going to win this game, guaranteed, because they are a mess. They are the most annoying team in the world to have fantasy assets for. I think FPL-wise, Kane is like the only one you can trust. And he's a pretty penny for his one goal a game sort of job.
Yeah.
And that's the same for this game. Obviously, Son got a brace in the last one, and then you kind of trap a ball in the next game. So if you can... if you can take a punt, then that's absolutely fine, because you might just land on it, but you are rolling your dice at this stage with all four of the teams in this group.
Yeah.
So it's up to everyone else, sort of the risk versus reward. The reason I don't like it is because it's a Wednesday fixture.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think for match day 6, because depending on the results, I still think maybe all of these teams could still do it.
Yeah.
So these are teams that we're probably going to be targeting for the last game week.
I think Højbjerg is a good shout.
He's getting goals in FPL.
In FPL, he's can't be bothered to count, but if you look at total points so far scored by midfielders, he is up there. You don't even have to scroll down. Andy's not even played this match day yet, this game week. And in the Champions League, he is the second highest scoring midfielder for Tottenham. Son has 24, Højbjerg has 20, and he is 5 million cheaper. He is just, yeah, doing really, really good, averaging 5 points per match day. And I think as someone who's going to not get rotated, well, the chances of him not getting rotated are high because they have to win both of these games. He's recovered 22 ball recoveries. He has 2 assists and 2 clean sheets so far in the 4 games. So
very good.
It's just really, really good for a 5.6 million defender.
Yeah, excellent.
Already have a Napoli player, if you already have Kravadonna and you're like, who could I get? Budget. I think Højbjerg is a good shout.
I agree. I think that's a really good shout. I think it's pretty obvious at this stage who you should and shouldn't be going for. I say clear them wing backs all day long. Just don't have them.
You don't know which one. You don't know how they're going to do. Yeah.
And they're not even doing well. That's the thing. I wouldn't mind if like each one of them was banging, but they're not.
Yeah. And then the last game, Eintracht Frankfurt, Marseille. It's in Germany. Frankfurt, once it loads, beaten Mönchengladbach 3-1. Lindstrom, 2 goals. And then a beam. Don't know. What with the other goal? Marseille, they lost to Paris Saint-Germain, as we know, and then they've lost to Lens. So seems that that unbeaten run, it's came to a crashing stop, and they are just losing every game now. So I mean, Tavares still plays in the Champions League by the looks of things. So I wouldn't look to get rid of him, but I think that's it for them games. I think this is Eintracht Frankfurt advantage. So players like Kamada and players like that, Lindstrom could be good shouts, but I don't think that these are the transfers that you're prioritizing at this point over people like that we've mentioned for other teams.
Yeah, I totally agree. I roll a dice, just put some player names, like write them on a bit of paper. One is this player, two is this player. Roll a dice. That's literally how I feel about these four teams, because anyone could win. Anything could happen. Sporting in particular. Have you ever seen that episode of Community where they've got all the different timelines and it's got like the darkest timeline? I'd recommend anyone watch that episode of Community. Like, that's what this group feels like, and Sporting Lisbon is the darkest timeline. Where there's total chaos, anything could happen, and it's great to watch. Like, it's exactly what you want from a Champions League group, but in terms of trying to get fantasy assets, it's a total nightmare.
Yeah,
and I've got Tavares locked in it all. How wonderful!
Yeah, like, he's gonna end up coming in if one of my players is horrible in terms of captaincies for Wednesday. I think the Inter game is probably the most, especially if you see a player starting. And then after that, probably, I don't know, Lewandowski was my second day captain last match day against Bayern Munich. He probably won't be. So you're probably just looking for... There's not many people with like huge ceilings, unless you just took a punt on a Liverpool or a Napoli player. Probably even a Napoli player is your best shout, Kravadonna.
I can see lots of Salah captainers on match day 2. Lewandowski. If you've got Martinez, Dzeko or Dumfries, I think people will captain those. Beyond that, maybe some Kane captainers. But I agree, I think Napoli players are the best players to captain this week. I think Kvaradona might be my Wednesday captain. That's why I'm probably going to go Haaland for the opening day, for the Tuesday, because it's sort of the reverse. He's fine and Wednesday is the punch, but you only play the fixtures, and I don't have Lever, and I've got no intention of bringing him in because of the players that I have. I can't honestly even remember what like half my team is, to be honest, because of the limitless that I did. It was just so long ago. So it's gonna be really interesting seeing that spread of Wednesday captaincy picks, because it's just not one person that everyone's gonna gravitate to. So I think the points can be made on Wednesday.
Yeah, captain's swing will be huge.
Yeah, captains will be massive. And that sort of also the captaincy on the Tuesday is gonna be massive. If you captained as well on a Tuesday, like I can't see many people rolling. I think it's gonna be a stick. I can see people sticking with 8 and 9 point captaincies this week.
Yeah.
And on that bombshell, yet again, thank you everyone for listening. We are the main event. You can find us on Twitter at UCL Fantasy Pod. Go on there, go on our profile. You got our link tree, so you've got our socials, where the podcast is, all that good stuff. Please, please, please as well, don't forget to follow Aaron. Aaron, what's your Twitter?
Aaron underscore Graydon.
Just because, obviously, I do the UCL Fantasy Podcast and I get all the followers and you get, like, not very many, Aaron. So
that's all right.
You need to get more followers, all right? Thanks so much for listening. Green arrows all round, hopefully. Fingers crossed you don't see another mental breakdown from me on Tuesday or Wednesday and it's just all smiles. But we'll see you then regardless. Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye now.
Bye. We'll be right back.